number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tori Amos is, Tori Amos, as some people say, but I always think it's Tori Amos in here tonight. Yeah, she's not here yet, but what else is new here on Loveline? She should be strolling into the studio any moment now. And Drew, how was San Diego?
Nice. The University of San Diego is such a beautiful campus. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I know. You know how I get turned on by schools and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you going to a strip bar.
Yeah.
It really is.
Except for they pay you to go, and for me, it costs me $800.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh, Drew. Humanity.
Drew, you know why? You know why you wouldn't function in a strip bar?
Why?
One of the many reasons besides
because I by the time I did go, I ended up discussing cervical cancer and erectile dysfunction.
No,
why?
No. There are two reasons. First, why? The obvious. Your
I'm
wife would
man.
Cut your nuts off.
Oh yeah, that's that. Yes.
Put them in a Polish cannon and shoot them across the schoolyard.
Yes, that's true.
That's number one. But number two, even if she gave you your blessing, you are a cheap guy. Now, not a cheap guy in the sense that you don't mind buying a nice car and living in a nice home and spending money on vacation and things for your kids and stuff like that. But you don't like to peel off cash. You're what I call retarded cheap. You'll spend a couple of million on a house, but you won't give a guy $5. You know what I mean? That's kind of retarded.
Retarded
cheap.
Retarded.
Right.
Really retarded.
Right. So when you go to a strip club, you have to just peel off 20 after 20 after 20, and that would kill you. You understand? You could go out to a dinner with three or four of your friends and your wife and pick up the tab and put your Visa card down and pay $400 or $500, and you'd be fine with that. But you could not continuously peel off 20s. I know your mentality, even if it was half that amount.
But mostly, it would be in. I'd be support. Think about what I was supporting.
Oh, you know shut saying? Up! You couldn't do it. You're cheap.
What I'd be doing?
Tori Amos has just stepped into the studio. By the way, delighted to see you again, my dear.
Hello, Adam.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
It's been far too long.
I know.
Drew is in San Diego, by the way. So say hi to him.
Hello, Dr. Drew. How are you?
I'm good, Tori. How are you?
Really well.
Tori is one of the better souls I know, and I think it translates through her music, and I think her fans see that. I think she connects with her fans more than most, maybe better than any. I mean, there's 50, 60 people out there, Drew, and you know what that's like. By Loveline standards,
that's insane. Plus, our staff is completely beside themselves.
Yeah. It must be nice. Isn't that a good feeling?
You guys are so... It's lovely, yeah. But I'm pretty fortunate to have people that'll come hear the music and, you know, not throw tomatoes at me and stuff. And they want to be there. It's a reciprocal relationship.
Yeah, but don't... And I know you're just going to say yes, but I'm sure you've thought about this. Don't you think you have, it seems like a more powerful connection with your fans than just about any other act?
Well, I think that over the years, we've really put the time in to just being there. You know, every day you spend time with people and they do have a story to tell. I'm sure you all find that. Maybe in the beginning, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but by getting the letters and reading them and listening to people's stories, the amazing thing is everybody does have a story to tell, and when they feel like you are listening to them, then you start developing what I was saying before, this reciprocal relationship. It takes two.
Yeah. Well, I just saw them all standing out there, and I know that our phone screener, Lauren, was she went through three or four pair of panties yesterday.
At least.
And she gave me that, you be nice to her thing. You know, she threatened me yesterday, don't you do anything to my Tori. And so I think there's, like I said, they feel like they're family, and it's really a great compliment. Tonight Show, by the way... Tori's going to be on tonight, the Leno show. I'll be on, I think, Monday.
Whatever.
Drew, you've not been on the show yet?
No, not done that one.
Interesting. So, Tori Amos, you've done the show probably many, many times.
Why are you doing the Tonight Show, Adam?
I know I'll be doing it for my second time, but Drew?
Why are you doing
it? Well, just, you know, I'm a celebrity.
They have to book
celebrities.
I see.
Know how it is. They got a show to run over there.
And they want people who will talk.
That's right.
Because, just so you know, I mean, they gave me... They always, you know, they get you to sit down and do the pre-show and say, okay, so what's been going on with
you? The pre-interview.
Yeah.
Right.
So they sit down and say, you know, do you have anything to talk about? Because we need, you know, they need to fill up airtime.
Right.
And you sit there and usually I can't come up with a whole lot right now because I'm singing The Wheels on the Bus and Spaghetti and Macaroni. I've got a 14-year-old.
Right.
So they wanted to talk about, you know, something exciting and macaroni and cheese is exciting for me right now. But you see, they need people that are going to fill up that airtime.
Right.
So well, that's why you're invited.
Well, here's how the pre-interview works for me and Jimmy. Hey, we just got to talk to you. We want to know what you want to talk about on Monday. Well, we went to a strip club in Vegas. We're not talking about that. Oh. Well, Jimmy's been having trouble with his bowels. And his No.
Yeah.
So after about 15... premises we float, they go, all right, we're not talking about any of that. Now, we'll call back in an hour, and you tell us what we're going to talk about again, but it's not any of the stuff you wanted to talk about. So at a certain point, you just have to say, what do you want us to talk about? And then they tell you. Yeah. All right, the new CD is called Strange Little Girls. It's all covers, and it's a very eclectic mix. You got... who do you got on here? You got some Boomtown Rats, and there's a Slayer song. And who else? I was just looking at the CD. Here it is.
I'm not going to bail you out of this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you find your way.
Where the hell is that? And where was I looking at all of that? Drew, you got nothing over there, do you?
You know, there's a question about the cover, the song she covers.
Oh, really?
Take line six.
All right.
Whoops.
Ingenious.
Unacceptable.
Danielle?
Yeah. Hello?
You're 17?
Hi. Wow. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I love your show. I had a song request and a question for Tori.
Here she is.
Hi, Tori.
Hi, Danielle.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm talking to you. I was wondering if you could play American Pie and Smells Like Teen Spirit on your Saturday show in L.A.? If you can make time for it. I'll write that down,
and I'll see what's happening at the piano. This is for Saturday?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you guys
Adam, this is why her fans love her. Are you taking notes on this? This is why people don't like you, Adam.
Yeah.
I love you too, Adam.
Oh, man, Drew, you're really hurting over not doing the Tonight Show, aren't you, buddy? So much venom in you, Drew. I'll give you the other song. I mean, there's Neil Young on here, the Beatles, like I said, Slayer, Joe Jackson, Stranglers, Depeche Mode, Eminem, Velvet Underground, Lloyd Cole, The Commotions. What's the one? Boomtown Rats, I Don't Like Mondays. Remember that, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about the song about the kid that, shot his classmates.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And it was like a true story. And the kid, they asked the kid why, and he said he didn't like Mondays, right?
Mm. Nice.
She.
She said yes.
She said she didn't like Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that story, Drew?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Is this it? Yeah. God, 1979 that song came out, Drew. Can you believe it?
I was feeling old. 3 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll hear some stuff off the new cover CD. Danielle?
Uh-huh.
We got your request.
Okay, and I also had a question. What was your main influence for choosing the songs for Strange Little Girls?
Well, I got together this laboratory of men because if the premise, how men say things and what a woman hears, if that were going to work, I really needed to know how men say things and what a man hears. So I got together... quite a few men from all different kinds of walks and ways of life. And I began to realize that men document their lives by music.
And women don't do that as much?
Maybe, but we do it by shoes also, and photographs and journals and all sorts of
things.
That's
true. We do music.
And so I as they opened their CD treasures, they would say, well, this is when I lost my job and I decided I wasn't going to, you know, be a mathematician anymore. And this is when she left me and I decided I was going to move here.
When did someone do something to Slayer?
Slayer was really brought by a guy that said, you haven't represented the meddlers. And you've represented every other kind of music.
Right.
But do you not like them?
No, I'm cool with Slayer.
No, that's what he asked me.
Oh, he asked you. I thought you were asking me. You're a great actress.
Adam, it's always about you.
I'm very defensive. What? I love Slayer. I roadied for them for a while.
No, I asked him to show. I said, "What if you were going to do, you know, a metal
right
choice? What would it be?" And he said, "Well, Slayer most influenced me as a musician." I said, "Show me." He said, "You're not serious." I said, "Of course I'm serious. I don't really know their work. So show me the one that you care about." And he said, "Well, you have to listen to Rain in Blood." I said, "Okay, let's go."
So you did it, and you did it.
Yeah,
Drew.
Yeah.
You want to move on to another call?
You want to put Danielle on hold for
Thanks,
me?
Danielle.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's talk to... Oops, did I do that? Neil? Yeah. Neil?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? I got a question for Tori.
Here she is.
Hi, Neil.
Hey, what's up? I have a question. All right. So, like, you wrote all the lyrics to all your songs, right? And, like, you produced Pell and all that. And it went platinum. But then, on the other side, you got Britney Spears, who doesn't even produce her own beats. And she goes 11 times platinum. You got J-Lo, who doesn't, like, I think she wrote 4 songs on the album. Yeah, 4 songs. And it's the number one hit of this and that. Don't you feel kind of gypped, I guess? I know you can't talk bad about people, but, like...
Sure she can. Just bad stuff about us all the time.
I know what I'm saying? Like, you put all this, like, you put half the artistic effort and you get double the sales. It's kind of like, this is wrong. It's like...
Well, you know, this is the thing. I think that I see myself more like a small vineyard instead of a big vineyard that sells loads and loads of wine. It's maybe, you know, I know all the people that work at the vineyard, and you do everything by hand, and I have complete creative control. I don't do anything that I don't believe in politically or spiritually or emotionally. I don't answer to anybody at the record labels. I don't even have to get along with anybody at radio, frankly. I don't write songs that are radio friendly. That isn't a choice that I've made in my life. There are people that do that, and it's just a different road. I'm kind of fortunate that I can draw these lines very firm in the sand, because some people, you know, kind of can't do that and have a career. So when you don't compromise like that, sometimes, you know, you have to accept that you're not in and out burger. I mean, it's not always that easy for people to come in.
But wouldn't you, and I was thinking about this at the top when I was thinking about how, you know, dedicated your fans are. I mean, wouldn't you rather, and this is for everybody, not just for Tori, in whatever field you're in, have, you know, a handful of people, a much smaller number of people that you respect and admire your work than a throng of a-holes? do you see what I'm saying? I'd rather have 10 people who I really respected think I was really funny than 1,000 retards. That's what I'm...
So
it's better.
Well,
better. Thank you.
No,
unfortunately,
he's telling you, Tori,
I only have 10, I have 10 retards that like yes. me. That's the problem.
No, but also, the thing is, you have to, I believe, as an artist, you pick your path, and bitterness is not anything that serves you. To be able to make records now for over 10 years and still be hopefully potent. Sylvia Plath is my mentor and artist that really wrote what they wanted to write without having to quote-unquote be commercial.
Well, I thought your vineyard analogy was very good, and I know that a lot of people judge all show business by numbers of tickets sold or money paid per episode or records sold. But for a lot of people like yourself, you want to make a living, and then you want to do what you want to do. And and the rest of it is sort of academic.
Like Miles Davis.
Thank you. Tiffany?
Hi, yeah.
He's a black guy, Drew.
Hello? No,
I don't remember that.
You're 27 now. What's up, Tiffany?
Oh, hi. Well, I have a question for Dr. Drew. I'm sorry. I'm kind of nervous. And I also wanted to tell Tori thank you for talking to me in Salt Lake. I was the one with the baby at the meet and greet.
Yes, hi.
Hi. that was a lot of help, so, and it just felt like, I don't know, this whole wave just, you know, blew off my shoulders. So I wanted to say that, so thank you, Tori. And I also wanted to ask Dr. Drew, how soon after you have a baby do you usually get your sex drive back?
Are you still breastfeeding?
No.
It can be anything from immediate to up to a year. And some women need, and it's multiple reasons why this happens. Sometimes it's breastfeeding, as I asked. Sometimes it's the stress of having to take care of a child. Sometimes there are other children you're dealing with as well. And many times it's just the profound biological changes of having been through a pregnancy. Some women actually get on the birth control pill as a way of trying to restore hormonal homeostasis. And that can restore sex drive, too.
Okay.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Get a, like, Berlitz tape that had homeostasis on it 2 weeks ago?
Why have I been using that lately?
I've heard it flown out of your mouth 18 times in the last 3 days. What's up?
Wow, interesting.
I got some momentum with that homeostasis.
It was some tape.
6 years.
Oh, you know what I was writing?
6 years we made it without homeostasis. Now we can't live without it.
I was writing about how people establish sort of a status quo. You know what I mean? They sort of live in a state that is maybe sick, and it's because they established sort of a homeostasis, and I was thinking a lot about that last week.
Right.
But so, it's a very good word,
Adam. It's a great word. Nobody knows what it means.
Balance.
Tiffany.
Yeah.
How old is your child?
She is 6.5 months old.
And are you married?
Yeah.
And you're just trying to get back to the swing of things sexually?
Well, yeah, but I'm having a lot of problems with my husband, too.
Doing? That'll screw with your sex
drive. That'll slow you down. What's he up to?
Well, he's a DJ on a morning show here in Salt Lake.
Oh, Gary. Humanity.
He's flawed.
Radio.
Yeah. You'd be better off with just a white supremacist.
Yeah.
They have better qualities.
So he hardly gets any money. I work for the Postal Service.
They don't pay him anything for the morning drive time?
No, he gets $6 an hour, and he works, 12 hours a day.
Wow.
Getting paid by the hour for doing radio is like getting paid by the hour for doing rodeo. True, write that down.
That's a good one.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's sad. I mean, I have to pay for everything.
Well, wait a minute. Is he one of the morning, is he like Monkey Boy in the background, or is he one of the main DJ guys?
No, he's Monkey Boy. He answers the phones. He does,
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, that's different. Yeah. We got them, too.
Yeah. He'll be running the radio station in a couple of months.
They're named Damien over here. So he's working his way. How old is he?
He is 25, and I'm 27.
Okay. Well, the good thing is if he's got a little talent and a little drive, he'll be doing real good. I mean, everyone in radio, my partner Jimmy has been in radio for 1,000 years or started off. He had a couple of kids and no money and was moving around and struggling. And now he's a rich, rich snob. So it'll work out.
Hopefully.
All right, baby. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk. You want to go to line two here, Drew?
Sure.
All right. Well, she made it seem like he was, running the station at the beginning. Adam?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
Tori Amos is in our studio tonight.
I know, and I feel really bad that I'm blocking up her time with my problems.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, Adam, I'm just here.
She's here for you.
actually, I do have a question, though. I'm seeming to have, relationship problems, only it's not anything about the relationship except for the sex and the frequency of how often we have it.
What? So it's a problem not enough for you?
Right. It's not enough for me. I know you had a caller a couple of weeks ago, and she didn't want it.
Right.
And that's how my partner is. And so I'm on the other end of that, and I don't know what to do.
Well, your partner doesn't want it.
Right.
Right, okay.
How often are we talking about here?
Maybe once a week,
Well, homeostasis.
Like right now, it's going on 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Wow. Yeah. Have you been tugging at her apron strings, trying to get a little more?
His.
Oh, his. Oh, his. It's a guy.
Yeah, it's a guy.
Oh, that's different. Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that. That's horrible.
You're right. Oh, humanity.
Once every 3 weeks. That's way too much.
Well, I'm trying to keep it so that it's not about sex.
Well, what's the deal? Are you guys in love?
I am.
Well, maybe.
Maybe this isn't a monogamous relationship.
No, because if he was screwing around, he'd still be putting out at home. Is he questioning his sexuality at all?
I really don't think so. He's been out longer than I have.
Is this a monogamous relationship?
Yes, it is.
You and he?
Right.
And why is it what?
You don't trust the gays with the monogamy, do you?
Well, I don't trust them. It's very common that there are problems with the monogamy. That is a common issue in gay relationships.
You got two guys. So you got double the opportunity for screwing up.
Right. You should have two male sex drives, right?
You would think. Yeah.
So, is he on medication? Is he on medication?
What's that?
Is he on any medication?
No.
And what is... excuse me, because I have to ask the tough questions.
Okay.
That's my job. Sexually, who's the bitch? I mean, what do you normally do? Is he, like, getting...
Actually, it goes really 50-50.
Oh, you're moving around.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And BJs, or are you getting get the sodomy going, too?
Actually, that's almost counted in as sex from my standpoint.
The BJ.
Right.
Yeah, I count that as sex, too. I don't know. We should hook up. We'd make a good team. Plus, we're both named Adam.
So this is true. This is true.
We'd save on towels. I'll tell you that right now. Something's up with this guy if he can't if he can't even muster BJ couple times a week. And you guys live together?
No.
But you've been together. You've been together for a while?
Been together 8 months.
And why do you answer the question about being in love as you're in love and you have no idea where he is at?
Well, I feel pretty certain that he's in love, but being as I can only really understand what I'm feeling because there are two of us.
Well, usually when someone tells you I love you, you trust that's what they're experiencing.
Is he an older guy?
No, he's 23.
Okay. Well, why don't you just have a discussion with him and see where his head's at? Because he may be depressed, or he may be checking out of the relationship or pulling back, or maybe...
He's not doing drugs?
What's that?
Is he doing any drugs?
No, not at all.
All right.
Every time I've asked him, it's always, work-related or... musters up an argument or something.
You tell him, look, you're not looking for a fight. You just want him to come clean, pardon the pun, and have a civil discussion about where this relationship's going, why you feel like he's pulling back. Because he's pulling back. That's what this is.
It seems like it. That's why I keep thinking he's cheating.
All right. But I'm saying if he's cheating, he's not
trying
to... Yeah, he's a horny guy, therefore he's cheating, but he's horny at home, too, so he's getting some at home, and he doesn't want to arouse suspicion at home, so he's not, he would keep the status quo going at home and not have him asking questions like, are you cheating? All right, genius. Tori Amos is our guest tonight. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Tori and I are going to get caught up during the commercial, Drew. You have fun talking to that $6 an hour engineer over there in San Diego, right? And that bad instant coffee. That's right. And we'll be back after
that. And no Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you've never done that. That's right. Tori on tonight, everybody. And, I'll be on next week. And Drew, 12th and ever. And we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there being San Diego.
Yes, sir.
Tori Amos is our guest tonight. She has herself a whole bunch of concerts coming up here at the Wiltern Theater, which is, like I said, the genius named that because it's on Western and Wilshire Boulevard, so hence the Wiltern. And those are all sold out, so just forget about it.
How do you know this kind of information?
Well, it dawned on me one day as I grew up in L.A., so I passed the Wiltern 1,700 times, and it it just dawned on me as I was looking at the Wilshire and the Western sign, and that it's on Wilshire and Western, that it just must be. I have that kind of genius linguistically. And Drew does too, hence the homeocentesis.
Homeostasis.
Sorry. Yes, that's right. Tori, Strange Little Girls is the name of the new CD. We're going to hear something off of that. I think we'll take a call and then we'll hear a song off the new CD. Selma?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I was beginning to date this guy. I kind of struggled. Didn't give him much attention because he actually lives kind of far from me, but since I'm going to move up to where he lives, we started talking. Now I feel like I'm more interested in him than he's interested in me.
How long were you dating him?
Well, I met him through a friend, actually, on a trip up north. He lives in Northern California. I live in Southern California. And that's why I wasn't paying much attention to him. And now I feel like that.
Hold on, Drew. I think we have to do a Loveline recreation.
Yeah.
Right, you ready? You asked me how long I've been dating him.
How long have you been dating him?
Well, I met him on a trip up north, you know, with a friend, and he's up there, and I'm down in L.A.
Yeah. He lives in Southern California. I live in Northern California. That's why I don't care too much about it.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Let's try this one more time.
North to Alaska, come on, the rush is on.
Yeah, I did an album of covers, too. Hoyt Axton covers, I did. Selma?
Yes.
How long you guys been going out?
A little over 2 months.
Okay, so it's fairly new, and it's always been a long-distance thing?
Yes.
Okay, and now it seems like he's losing interest?
Yeah, he'd rather watch TV with his friend and call me back.
Okay. Well, maybe.
No, that's not.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah. And yeah. It's okay because he's out of your range geographically anyway.
Well, I'm actually going to move, like, maybe, like, not too far from him in January. So it's like.
Are you really into him or are you just kind of into him because you don't think he's into you?
No, I think he's like a total, he's been a total sweetheart, like, all the time. Calls me in the morning to say good morning, things like that.
I'm really unclear about something. How much time have you actually spent face-to-face?
Actually, a lot. Not a lot, but he's come down every other weekend, and I've gone up a lot. So we do see each other almost every weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, how about, and everybody can do this, if your mate is giving you trouble, it's okay to say to him, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You seem, Drew, do that again. Drew, next time I give a speech, I want you behind me.
Chorus.
Yeah, I want you behind me doing that, like I'm with the Nation of Islam. You just go, I'll go, it's okay to talk to your mate every once in a while.
Yeah.
You guys should communicate. Do not hesitate to communicate. God put her on earth and gave her a mouth for more than just oral sex.
All right.
Although nothing comes to mind right now. Drew, come on.
No.
Okay. All right, Selma, you just talk to him, okay? And get an answer, and if the answer's, you know, hey, he's out,
she's pretty clear what the answer is, as always. That's why she doesn't ask the question.
Tori, don't you think, or tell me what you think about this. We think when people don't ask the question, it's usually because they don't want to know the answer.
Or they know what the answer is, and they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it. I mean, you get that vibe when someone's pulling out of a relationship. Mm. You kind of know. Your spidey sense tingles.
No.
And you know if you corner them and say to them, what's up, eventually if you really push hard enough, they're just going to tell you they ain't into it. And then you're crushed.
But don't you sometimes think that there's a part of it that they want to hold on to, whether it's your friendship? Sometimes people just, they don't want you completely out of their life, but they don't want it the way that it was. Something's changing.
Right. And they don't want it the way it was, but they don't want to confront you, and they don't want you completely out. So they just start slowly pulling back, and then you go nuts.
I mean, is this guy afraid that because she's moving up there, She's going to be right there. And it's not against her. It's not a personal thing. It's just, I found that sometimes when I get too close to certain, in my life, when I've been too close to certain men, that they just feel like they're losing their freedom.
Yeah, well, we do that. I'm feeling a little cage right now. Open the door. Hey, you know, Drew?
Yep.
I forgot. I know I've told this story before. It's been a long time. Tori Amos, I took some flowers of hers to an ex-girlfriend of mine many years ago. Do you remember that?
She did.
Tori did the K-Rock, that is the mother station out here, did the Kevin and Bean morning show years ago. Like, it had to be 7 years ago, because I was just screwing around. I was, like, just hanging out with the morning show, screwing around. And Tori did her thing, and as usual, all her fans came by and dropped off some flowers and gifts and stuff. And Tori took off and left behind, and not intentionally, of course, but somehow neglected to get a bouquet of flowers. And I collected this bouquet of flowers because my girlfriend had been pounding on me for never giving her flowers.
Uh-huh.
So I came home, and I handed her the flowers. And, you know, she almost had an aneurysm because I never buy flowers. And she was like, what is up? Flowers? Oh, my goodness. I'll get some water, you know. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then I screwed up. Uh-oh. She was a big Tori Amos fan. And I said, such an idiot. I said, guess whose flowers these were for? She was like, who? And I said, your number one girl, Tori Amos. And she was like, you son of a bitch. I was like, but Tori Amos, you love Tori Amos.
Now, not that much.
But for me...
No, Tori, you talked about the differences between how men and women think and how they speak.
That's it. That's
the
it.
Guy, that's an extra good thing.
Yeah, like, let's
These
say...
your best girl's flower.
Right, let's say your wife brought you home a stethoscope that was C. Everett Koop's.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be on cloud nine, right?
Yeah, that's right. And extra special.
Now the word cheap comes to mind.
What about resourceful? Doesn't that come to mind?
Creative. Thoughtful.
That's right. Look, I could have walked away. I could have walked away, but I picked up the flowers, I tore the Tori name tag off, and I promptly brought them to my girlfriend. And
Is she still your girlfriend?
No. Big mistake.
Bad into
because,
that.
Yeah, this horse just came in. Do you know what I'm saying, baby?
Horse?
If you're listening, yeah, me. I'm talking about me. Oh, yeah. She was with me during the lean years, but now literally a millionaire. Literally. You know.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
That's so
Thank
good.
Thank you.
For you.
Literally. Hey, should we hear a song? We got time? Should we do it? Let's do it this break. Let's hear a
Whatever
song.
Whatever you say, Your Royal Highness.
Thank you. Anderson, you ready to rock? You got both your hands up in the air. Okay. You're working it with your feet. This is off of Strange Little Girl, and this one is called Strange Little Girl. Tori Amos, everybody. Another beauty. Strange Little Girl is the name of the CD. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with more of the show after this.
All right.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Drew in San Diego tonight. Drew, you'll be back tomorrow night, correct?
Absolutely.
We'll be looking forward to that. Tori Amos, our good friend and wonderful soul. Tori Amos is in studio tonight. She will be at the Wiltern, but don't bother the... Tickets are sold out.
Oh, but wait a minute. You have I release tickets every night.
Oh, you do?
Well, because I hold a few for Sightlines.
I see.
So on we're there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I always have a little stash.
So how would one get into your stash?
We give it back to the ticket ladies. Mm-hmm. At around, I don't know, what time do I do that, Johnny? 6-something? 6:30-ish? Mm-hmm. Once they know where the sight lines are. You know what I'm saying.
Meaning physically the sight lines in the theater.
Right. So when all the gear is up and our production is rolling and you can see, that in this row they can't see the redheaded piano player.
Right.
So that's why I hold seats just to cover that.
I've seen Tori a few times, but I think only like acoustically, just alone at the piano, which is amazing and impressive. But how many people do you travel with? Or are you alone, or do you have a full band, or how does it work?
Well, I don't know how to put this. I'm playing alone at the piano, traveling with loads of people.
Really?
So, yes, even though I'm alone on stage.
Right.
Playing and singing, there's a huge crew that make it work. I do this with a lot of people.
Do you ever have someone on a cello sitting there?
For two tours, I had other musicians.
Right.
And that was a completely different kind of show. So this tour, I'm just alone at the keyboards.
Very, very impressive.
With a great crew, by the way. Because, you know, just because you're up there alone doesn't mean there are not a lot of people that are a part of the creating the show.
Well, yeah, but stop being modest. They're a dime a dozen. Thank you. Drew?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing over there, buddy?
Put up a call.
Kevin?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, you're 18.
Holy God. Hi, Tori. How are you
doing? Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Holy God. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Okay. I was in Salt Lake, too. In fact, I met that girl that you said hi to her baby to. I thought that was kind of cool.
Wow.
Wow, this is a small world. Are you in Salt Lake now?
Yeah, I am.
And
there's a lot of crazy fans out here. You have no idea.
Salt Lake's a fascinating place. Don't you think there's a lot going on out there?
It seems like there's quite a diverse group there. I mean, you got your super pious Mormons, and then you got your crazy rebellious kids who probably feel like women living in Afghanistan. You know what I mean? Like under this oppressive regime. I'm guessing
stasis.
I'm guessing Kevin is one of them, right?
And then you've got the Olympic Committee.
Right.
Yeah. I want to know if you... This has been driving me crazy. I sat on the second row of your concert, and I swore to God that you looked at me during Crucify, because I was bawling, and you, like, raised your eyebrows and smiled. But I don't know if that was at me. And then afterwards, when I was, like, meeting you,
yeah, right.
I called you Jesus. Sorry, by the way. I didn't... That was
when you met her.
She, like, reached out her hand and said, hi, and then I'm like... Or you're Jesus or something stupid like that. I can't.
You're gay.
Was she, please, Drew, was she telling your dog to command you to kill?
No.
Oh, okay,
I would have,
good.
Though.
Good, good. How you doing over there in Salt? Are you gay, Kevin?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Is it tough there in Salt Lake for a young gay man?
No.
It's okay?
Not bad.
Okay. All right.
It was in school, but that's over.
That's over with now.
Yeah.
All right, so you love Tori Amos.
I do.
Me too.
Was there a question?
Is that it? No, I think
you have a question,
he just wanted
Kevin?
To heap praise on her.
That's it? Kevin?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I wanted to know about the drug ephedrine. My friend gave me like a bottle of these pills. I started taking them, and they make my head all tingly. I just want to know like what's like the side effects. What does this drug even do?
A lesbian.
Ephedrine is a drug that is easily converted to amphetamine. Mm-hmm. It is basically converted in your body to that kind of chemical. It can cause strokes and heart attacks. It's highly addictive. You have to use a lot of it to get addictive, but it's a dangerous, dangerous drug.
Other than the strokes, heart attacks,
I just admitted ephedrine. Yeah, I admitted an ephedrine addict about 2 weeks ago. He was a mess.
And what?
Where do you physically?
Where do you get it? Is it a diet supplement?
Can be.
I mean, is that why the majority of people take it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Right.
You get.
I mean, that's I think where most people encounter it. Right.
And can you get it like through mail order or something, or is it?
I don't know. You can get pseudoephedrine easily. That's just Sudafed over the counter. But ephedra and ephedrine are things that usually they sort of these herbal preparations.
Right. All right. Let's. Who you want to talk to? Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yes.
Tony the chick.
Is this Adam?
Yep.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Tony.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm freaking out right now, dude. I can't handle it.
Because Tori's here.
Oh my God. I can't believe I'm going to talk to her. Yeah, because Tori's there.
If you don't turn your radio off, you're not going to, so be careful.
Turn my radio off?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll hear you come on this then?
Yeah, you know there's that thing. Phone. It's a phone, right?
Yeah.
It's got that, it's got that ear part.
My phone died in my hand. Speaker.
Oh, you mean your phone is out of batteries?
Yes, it's a bad phone.
All right, but you can still hear us through the speaker if you turn your radio down.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, go ahead. Ask your question.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
All right. Tori, hi.
Oh, the Tori Amos fans. Are such a pain.
I can't believe I'm talking to you. Okay. Oh, welcome back to L.A. First of all, I'm going to your L.A. show Friday night and your two San Diego shows. Those are your last shows, right?
In America, yes.
In America? Oh, my goodness. Question is, what is your inspiration for fairies? Where did that come from in you? Because, as you know, everyone goes to the concert wearing fairy wings, and they write a lot about you being the fairy queen. Where does your inspiration come from?
Well, actually, my grandfather was part Cherokee, and he would talk to me about the spiritual realm and the spiritual world. And it defines itself in different ways for different people, as we all know. Sometimes it's just taking a walk and seeing the sunset. Sometimes it's being close to the earth and experiencing nature in that way. Sometimes it comes out for other people in religion. Although that gets very confusing.
Are you a religious person or a spiritual person?
Yeah, I'd like to think that it's more of a... It's not a set doctrine for me. My grandfather tried to teach me a lot about just listening to other people, and also listening to the spirit world, and it did speak to you, and listening to your ancestors. And as you know, that's a great belief with the Native Americans.
Yeah, they're huge into that. They listen to, like, coyotes, and they talk
to cactus.
Yeah,
they do.
Wind.
That's right.
It's really because they didn't have cable. They're talking to rocks and stuff out there.
Okay,
that's the bottom line. If they had some cable, they wouldn't be into all that talking to coyotes and stuff.
You know? Well, I think the whole thing is that there are certain people that really believe that there is a spiritual world out there. And then there's some people that are more cynical about it. And it's going to feel right for you.
I'm sorry to cut you off in the middle of the spiritual journey.
No, you're not.
No, I really don't
care. You're quite happy about
that. No, I can't. We have to take a break and shove some commercials in here. But we will come back with Tori Amos, and we will finish her thoughts on spirituality. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I do. He's my chauffeur. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew's in San Diego tonight. Tori Amos is our guest. No, Anderson, I'm not singing tonight.
No?
No. I don't want to
be so impressed.
Jigga, mugga, mugga, jigga, mugga, mugga. All right.
You can cover System of a Down, you know.
Tori, I think motherhood is agreed quite nicely with Tori, because you just seem rejuvenated.
Hmm.
You know? You feel that way?
Yeah.
You seem, you're kind of a... You're always at least this is just my sort of layman's read of you. You're a person that was up in your head and sort of deep in thought a lot, and it could almost be mistaken for depressed sometimes. But you seem much more energetic now.
Well,
you seem
good.
Thrilled about being a mom.
I love being a mom. I think there are different things for different people that make the numbers line up
mm-hmm.
in your life.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. At a certain point, you can have done the shrinks, you can have done the whatevers, you can have been around the world many times, but still, the numbers aren't adding up.
Right.
And being a mom, I think it was kind of when I realized, you know, there are days that are really magical days. You know, those days that you want to hold in your hand and... like gold dust, you just hold it. You want to talk about magic, magical things.
But did you have those days before you had your child?
Much less, not as much, and over things that were much grander. Now as a mom, sometimes the gold dust is just getting spaghetti thrown all over you.
Right.
I think the big thing with Tosh is that, you know, she's trying to learn how to eat by herself. And I feed her sometimes like a little bird with my hands because just sometimes little kids, the spoon fork thing, as Drew, you know, gets very complicated.
Oh, boy.
And so
when you, with the triplets.
When you, well, for me, when I fed her with my hands, that seemed to really, she got that. But now she feeds me with her hands. So sometimes I'm standing backstage ready to, I've got my stuff on, and I've got strawberries coming at me and sweet potato in my hair. And you know, these are those gold dust moments.
Yeah, listen, I'm a hard ass most of the time, but my four-year-old nephew drew me a picture the other day and ran up and gave it to me. And it's really touching. I mean, you know, it was a piece of crap. I mean, it wasn't much
yeah,
good
because
he's four.
But it's about.
The fact that he sat around in school and decided to run up and give me, and then he actually asked me if I would buy him a Corvette when he was he was older.
That's fabulous.
Because you know, I'm like a rich Uncle Adam to him. He wanted to buy a vet. But you know what? You know the deal I cut with him. He showed me a picture of a Corvette. But it was a 2001 Corvette, and he said, I want this car. And I said, I will buy you that car when you're 18, and he couldn't believe it. But here's how I'm going to screw him. That's 14 and a half years from now. That vet, it'll be, you know, 2018 before I buy that 2001 vet.
Oh, if
the car will be 15 years old, I'll be able to pick it up for next to nothing. I'll probably have 200,000 miles on it.
You could pick it up next for nothing next week.
Yeah, but imagine what it'll be like 15 years from now. So I got him on a technicality. But anyway, yeah, it was really touching when he gave me this picture. The idea that he was thinking, the idea that kids think about you is kind of nice, that they offer you some of their yam.
Yeah.
Because kids, I think from zero to, I don't know what age, Drew, are pretty much about them, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, pretty much exclusively. So those
Well, just, no, it's them and the wonderful world you share with them.
Right, so that
you're sharing in their world.
That those fleeting those moments when they reach out and worry about you has to be kind of inspiring, kind of touching. Yeah, I got to get me.
Well,
some
they're bringing you into their magical world.
That's the thing. That's right. Yeah.
Now, what days are those that they're having? You know, where they bring you into their magical world? Because I only want the kid
day.
On that day.
Every day.
Really? Well,
there's something every day.
It's just a range, Adam, of how that entrance is sort of conveyed. Sometimes it's by throwing a little poo in your direction.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's by offering you a picture.
All right.
All the same.
Let's go to line six here and talk to Tallulah.
Hello?
Tallulah?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah. The name is Tori Amos Song.
Hi, Tallulah.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
How are you?
What?
How are you?
I'm okay. Wow, this is weird. Well, okay. Like, I had a question. Like, it's really a good question, but I hear everybody talking to you, and I just want to talk to you. I could ask you, like, a million questions.
Well, let's just narrow it down to one good one.
Okay, right. So, last year, my Western teacher was, like, just explaining something to us about, like, what are the guidelines to make it rape.
What teacher?
We're discussing something. Like, totally different. He didn't say it to me. He was, like, saying it to the class.
So he was telling you when something technically becomes rape?
Yeah, like, there's four things.
Okay.
That has to happen.
Right.
And I or something like that. I don't really remember what they were, and I'd like to know.
Well, isn't it just sex without consent?
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, because wasn't it like penetration something? Because it was kind of...
I don't think there needs to be penetration. I mean, I don't know.
There's sexual assault. There doesn't have to be.
I see. Well, all right, so you got your penetration and you got the lack of consent.
Yeah. And this happened quite a while ago.
Oh, this happened to you?
Yeah.
What happened?
It was May 5th, and I was on a date, and yeah, it was bad.
Well, did you
date rape?
Did you report the guy?
Well, I didn't really, I was thinking about it, I'm like, they're not going to care. It's like, it sounds like he would just be like, no.
Well, yeah. Tallulah, just that attitude suggests that you have a long history of having been a victim. That you expect people to react to you that way.
Yeah.
What happened?
What are the, yeah, what else?
Well, like, when I was 10, like, it was a friend of family, and I was molested.
Okay. Well, that's where that whole victim role got established.
Yeah.
What about your dad? Is he a jack off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like to kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
Is he still around? Is he?
Yeah.
Did he abuse you?
No.
Physically?
Mentally more so.
Mentally. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. Do you want to try to bring this guy to justice who did this to you?
Yeah, I do. It's just I just want to know, like, if I have good evidence, like, if I have to say, like, the things that happened. Because it wasn't exactly the penetration.
Yeah, Tallulah, you're not going to be able to prove anything, unfortunately. So much time has passed.
Well, how much time has passed? Oh, May 5th?
Yeah.
You say?
We're gonna actually bring a policeman in a couple of weeks to talk about what people need to do to get a forensic exam established.
Oh, really? Because, you know, I get nervous around the fuzz.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come
you'll be your best behavior that night. But the fact is, although you won't be able to prove anything or really prosecute him based on what happened on May 5th, you will establish a record. So if other people go through something with him, there'll be a record.
Okay.
And two, you'll break that pattern of victimization you're in.
Yeah.
It's part of breaking that up and doing something more supporting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Tori?
Oh, my God. Hello.
Well, I think healing for you, Drew just said things that are really important. Once you make that step, then there's a lot of healing to be done.
Yeah.
That I think that you need to go to somebody, whether it's, there is RAIN, but that's one of many places you can turn where I think you should get professional help, because just to talk to somebody.
Well, what happens, sorry for cutting you off, but if she calls RAIN, she gets hold of your organization, she's calling from Chicago, what could she expect?
Well, they put her in touch with the Rape Crisis Center in Chicago, and she can go in and get information. RAIN is really a resource. It's like an ER.
Mm-hmm.
And
so a triage center.
Right, where you go and you see what your options are. They can get you in touch with certain rape counselors. Mm-hmm. And it is a place to start, but there are other ways.
Well, let's give the number out while we're talking about it.
Okay.
Do you have that?
Well, you all need to do it accurately right now. I don't have it right in front of me, and I don't want to say it wrong. I think it's 1-800.
She's looking at the peanut gallery.
The last four numbers are HOPE, H-O-P-E, but...
Yeah,
we'll get it for you.
I always see it on websites and stuff.
The 1-800-656-HOPE.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told in my ear.
Yeah, I've been sitting on this for a while, and then I heard that you were going to be on Loveline, so I was like, oh.
Well, Tallulah, the thing I just feel is it's so important that you make a commitment to yourself to heal, and that's a fascinating journey, sometimes painful, but it is empowering.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tallulah.
Can I, you don't have to answer this, but I'm going to ask you something personal. I mean, you speak a language that suggests you've had a journey of exploration and support of the self. Is that true for yourself?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. I'm very fortunate that when I looked for some guidance, I had some really... let's say, guiding lights there, and sometimes they were tough with me, and that I had to look at some things that I didn't want to look at and make some choices and cut some people out of my life. But I had a pattern of pulling in people that I would just keep playing it over and over and over again.
Right.
Until I was able to understand and see the pattern and break it. But first I wanted to do it. You know, first I wanted to take care of
it's so gratifying. Yeah.
Want is even a weird word for it. It's like almost, you're almost compelled.
Right.
And I mean, that's all the show is, and that's all the world is, really, is how do you undo that, what was done to you growing up, and it causes you to make these horrible, repetitive decisions over and over again. How do you break that? How do you not have a kid and pass that along to your child? That's all. It's really, wouldn't you say, in essence, that's all we're doing here, Drew?
We're trying to point out over and again.
And it doesn't seem to be something that society is that interested in. We can never understand why. I mean, from a government standpoint and just from a general societal standpoint, they don't seem to see the link between that and the repetitive problems of society. And I can't understand why we wouldn't want to focus on that to turn this place into a utopia. And nobody wants to focus on that. It's all about individuals and individual choices. And we know it's just carved in. I mean, Drew, when you're talking to this Tallulah who was raped at age 16, you knew up to about 95% that she had been victimized before 16. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
And then you knew when she said something happened to her 10, then you knew that her dad was abusive in some way, shape, or form. It's unstoppable. It's undeniable math. Mm. And people in this society don't look at it as math, as an equation. They look at it as sort of psychobabble and mumbo jumbo. And they look at it as, well, some people prescribe to that theory and then other people don't. So it's up to everybody. But it's not open for negotiation.
It's not a theory.
It's not a theory. That's what we're trying to say. It's mechanical as any other physical thing that goes on in the body. And you can no easier argue this away scientifically than you could a broken bone to a physician. But we won't look at it that way. And there's something as human beings where that scares us. It has to scare us to not feel in control.
But some of us are looking at it. And when a group of people rises up and says, we're not going to pass this down to the next generation. It's going to stop here with me in my life. And I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to accept my crap. And then I'm going to put my hands in here and change this.
Right. And not have, I mean, I don't know what your age is, Tori, but
I'm 38.
I would imagine, and this is your first child, correct? If you'd had this child when you were 21.
Very different story.
What a load of crap you would have given this kid. And you would have been a horrible mother.
Yes.
Horrible.
No,
horrible.
Thank you, Adam.
Maybe the worst.
Say how you feel.
No, but this kid... would be robbing banks and doing heroin right now. I mean, this kid would be 17 and a mess and probably have a kid of their own.
And playing air guitar.
To Boston. Wait a minute, that was me. I hate my parents so much. But here's the point. You knew that you had... There's nothing wrong with having problems to work out. We all have them. But the problem is passing those on.
No, but it took me, I don't know about you guys, but it took me a long time to realize that I was in trouble.
Yeah.
Meaning that I really had problems. It was everybody else that had
them.
Right.
That is exactly what Adam and I are talking about. People do not want to take responsibility for what's going on in their life, ever. Have you ever read the book, The Road Less Traveled, Tori?
I haven't.
You don't really need to, because it really goes at that issue, is getting people to accept the fact that until you look at your own crap and how you create everything in your life, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to feel better. You're not going to change things.
Drew?
Yeah.
Do you have any other suggestions for books that Tori doesn't need to read?
I was bringing it up for the listeners, in case Tori had read it and wanted to sort of share her feelings about it.
Have you read The Phantom Tollbooth?
No.
Okay, it's the only book I've ever read, so it's embarrassing, but I have to bring it up when Drew brings up a book to read. Mm. Gil?
Hi. Oh, my goodness. Hi, Tori.
Hi, Gil. How are you?
I'm flabbergasted that I'm speaking with you. This is amazing. I quit smoking today.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. My method of quitting this time is to tell everybody so that I can't go back on it.
You think you're going to be lighting up a butt at an airport lounge like 6 weeks from now, and Tori's going to call you up and bust your chops?
On the off chance. Who knows?
But you never know.
I'm thinking of putting like a photocopy of my picture to all the stores in my neighborhood and telling them they can't sell cigarettes to me.
I love that. I like that.
That's great. But, you know, you'll offer them 50 for a half pack of Salems and they'll give in. I know this. They're unscrupulous.
I have to quit this time. I have to quit. I can't smoke anymore. It's very bad.
All right, baby. Is that why you called?
No, I called to talk to Tori.
Here she is.
Hi, Tori.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I have this theory that there are some songs you just don't play in the United States.
Oh, what is it? Okay.
And I think that you don't play Playboy Mommy in the United States.
Oh, I've played it quite a few times on this tour.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
I
went to see you at the Beacon Theater in New York in October. But anyway, I was just curious. That was just an example, but I was curious if you think that the fan base or the audiences are different enough so that your set list will vary, just based on whether
between Europe and the United States.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I don't do it that way. There are just certain songs that seem to want to. I don't know. Don't you feel like with what's going on in the world at any given time, there are certain songs that just resonate
sure.
more than others at that time. And Playboy Mommy has actually been coming out quite a bit in the last couple weeks. That's just one of those that she was a little sleepy in the beginning of the tour, and now she's not.
Well, I imagine you'd get, I mean, I don't know, but do you have songs that you really like in certain periods and certain times, and then other times you're sort of tired of them and want to put them on the shelf for a while?
Well, yes, but also we're touring after our tour started September 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And because of September 11th, it's affected everything. And so you find that in different cities, people are coming to the show and working through this in different ways in different cities. Like if you play in New York,
mm-hmm.
it's different than Detroit. It's different than San Francisco, certain cities. You know, they weren't in the trenches. Even though they were horrified, they might be waiting for the other shoe to drop or they're angry.
Right.
Whereas when we played New York very soon after that, it was a place of resilience and grieving, and so yes, it's a different tone, and you're playing to a different need that night, and the set lists change every night depending on what you're feeling from the city itself.
Yeah. Tori, in terms of your own personal experience, does being a parent flip you out about what's happening in the world? I mean, I'm completely a mess because of it, and being a parent.
I think that for me, Drew, a scary realization happened, which is I believe in a nonviolent solution most of the time. And I say most of the time because that's what I've added on. For example, on one hand, I'm a nonviolent person, and on another hand, I'm a lioness with a cub.
Right.
Right.
So if you guys come after my cub, there's no remorse. I'm just going to tear your head off.
Yeah, we're talking about your kid. You don't actually have a cub.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I want that on a loop.
Tori used the F word on the air, everybody. All right, sorry, go ahead. I'm just screwing around.
But yeah, I mean, that isn't that interesting how and I bet you wouldn't even have known that as clearly about yourself, Tori. Not that you had the capacity to say that kind of thing to Adam, that you would be that aggressive in response to a threat until you had a child and until there was a threat.
It's completely instinctive, as you know, yeah. Drew, and it's something that you cannot condition. I can't teach it or tell it. I really can't because mm-hmm. it responds. I mean, when I now, I'm at a place where I don't just trust anybody anymore. Yeah. I don't have this sort of Disneyland consciousness that
But you mean as a result of September 11th?
Yes.
But yeah, before
we live in a different world than we thought we lived in.
But let me just get this straight. Before September 11th, you would have had. I mean, I'm sorry. Before being a mother, you would have had a slightly more sort of pacifist approach to this whole thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And now it's like, I got something to protect here. We got to cut the head off this beast before it gets
now,
to my child.
Hang on a minute. Now, my reaction to people that just want to massacre people and give clitorectomies and whatever, I just look and say, no.
Right.
There's not a whole lot to say
no
to
way.
You.
Yeah.
And I've reached my limit. Now, that doesn't mean that you just go out and start hurting people, but it means that I do have a line, and
right.
I have a real line. And if you cross that line, there is a response from a warrior mother.
Well, I'm glad... Mother effer, as it were. She used the F word, you know. She used the F word at me, Drew. Did you
Unacceptable.
Hear that?
And not in sort of a playful way.
Not in vague terms, no.
No.
That was an attack. More therapy for me.
I was moved. It was great.
Yeah. You should have been here, Drew. You would have loved it. But, listen, I'm glad. I think that this tragedy has turned some pacifist into sort of like realist, that it hasn't necessarily made them violent, but they just realize, look, there's certain things that are evil in the world.
And intolerable.
And hugging that evil is not going to work. It needs to be put down.
It just doesn't.
So that good people can live. Yes.
It's another one of those things. If it did, of course we would do that. It doesn't work.
Right.
I wish it worked.
All right, Drew. Don't freak out over there. Drew, we're going to let Tori go. Any more books you shouldn't read?
Or she shouldn't read?
Yeah. Have anything? What about our book? We wrote a book.
Did the two of you write a book?
We wrote a book, and she shouldn't read that.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm. There you go. Tori's got to get up at like 5 in the morning tomorrow.
Okay.
And, you know, she told me to F off, so the honeymoon is over.
Drew, huge hugs to you.
Thank you, Tori.
And Adam,
you are
the sweetest, cutest thing.
Oh, God bless you. I love this story, Amos. I just love her. And it's been way, way too long. So please.
It really has. That's true.
Okay, guys.
Please, whenever you're anywhere near Los Angeles, come see us.
Okay.
And you know what? We could even do like a little phoner thing from England sometime, you know?
Okay.
I don't know what the hell what time it would
Nine
be
hours.
Over there.
We look 7 in the morning.
I'd be up in the morning. You'd be running around with your youngin', and we'll do a little. Tell me to F off over the phone.
Okay, it's a deal.
All right, Tori Amos.
Okay,
we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew in San Diego. Tori has Tori Amos has left the building. What a great person. Really enjoyed her. Yeah. Sweetheart. Absolute sweetheart. Geez, what a talent. A complete bona fide talent that Tori. Just her and her piano. That's enough. All right. I think we're going to hear one more song off CD. Not this second. But I figure we'd talk to Tori as much as we could before she had to split.
Sure.
And then we'll play the
Absolutely.
Music later. Courtney?
Hi.
What's up? You're 24.
Well, I just want to say it was great hearing Tori tonight. And I'm sorry to have missed her by one. But
yeah.
I still want to ask my question.
Sure.
I wanted to hear what she had to say about it, too, but it's unimportant now. I'm engaged, and I've had problems with my father my whole life. I've never lived with him. My mom and dad have been divorced since I was a year. And he's very unimproving of pretty much everything. I mean, when I was going to college, when I said I wanted to go to college, he, you know, laughed at that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and now, you know, everyone's thrilled, everyone's yay, excited, and he's totally and completely against
everyone's
it.
Excited about what?
The wedding.
Oh, you're getting married.
Yeah.
Didn't she say something about going to college?
Well, when she wanted to go to college.
It's just an example.
Right, right.
You know, when I was a piano player, which is, of course, why I love Tori so much. She brought me to so many great artistic levels playing her music. But
okay.
But he was even against that. I mean, he didn't.
Okay. Okay, but here's the thing, Courtney. Your dad, I got one of those dads, too. I got a whole family full of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is they don't change. As a matter of fact, they get a little worse as the years wear on. They're like old cars. They get a little rustier every year. And you get a little more frustrated trying to get them to be a way that they're not going to be and that they never were.
And more removed.
And more and more removed.
And I feel like I'm in the middle. I'm 24 years old, and I'm in the middle of my mother and my father still, and they were never even together. My mom wants, you know, his money.
Well, how's your mom as far as this stuff goes, as far as approval goes?
My mom is like a goddess.
Okay.
She is amazing.
All right, but so understand what your dad's capable of and what your mom's capable of, and you're going to constantly be disappointed if you constantly keep going at your dad trying to get something that he's never going to give you, so you got to let it go.
That's hard. Right.
I know.
It's hard not, I mean, you want that approval.
I know, but you can get that through other people who can give it to you. He can't give it to you.
I understand. It just, you know, and I've got my mother on one side who is, you know, wanting me to ask him for help. And he...
Yeah, there's something wrong with mom, too, by the way.
Yeah, what's up with her and the gold digging going on?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that. It's just the financial burden that she's had to bear. I mean, she was a single mother, and she was... My whole life, she never asked him for anything because she never wanted to create a conflict in front of me. And it wasn't until I was overage and in college that she started voicing, like, her, you know, real feelings about it. And it's funny because I don't know if I'm supposed to be able to handle it now, but I feel more burdened by it now as an, you know, as an adult.
Well, what, let's just get to the prom here in terms of, do you need money now?
Well, for the wedding.
Oh, and
that's what she's talking about. And my stepmother, you know, my father's
just
wife.
Just know if you start doing that with your dad, it's going to come with a price tag that you're going to have to pay.
Oh, I don't want any of it. But
yeah, so why don't you have a smaller wedding? Why don't you even elope? Why don't you do something that's really...
I can't.
No, why don't
do
you?
That.
Well, Courtney,
allow
you,
that.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, you know what? We run into this all the time where one parent's the devil and the other's the saint. And
it's never that.
The more you talk to somebody, the more you sort of realize they're both more, a little more toward the center than they are polar
they're
opposites.
More than often than not, two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Is really what
and,
it is.
And I'll tell you why. It's not a coincidence because saints don't marry and have children with devils.
That's right.
That's how you know.
And Courtney needs to understand that what mom needs is not necessarily what Courtney needs. And as difficult as it is to deal with dad, it's equally as hard for her to assert herself to mom.
Right.
And if it means standing up to her and not having a big wedding or having something that is genuinely about Courtney and not about mom, this is your wedding, Courtney, not your mom's. And yes, it may be tough for your mom, but that's her. She'll survive. She'll deal with it. Do what you need to do, Courtney, for yourself.
Tina? Ooh.
Ooh, sorry.
What'd you do to Tina?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, Drew.
Tina?
Hello?
Oh, thank goodness.
How about that?
I'd never want to talk to someone so badly in my life, Tina.
Adam?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's me. I looked up at the screen, and I said, someone's getting married in prison, and I wet myself. I said, this is someone I need to speak to. Now, the screen is empty, Tina, but who's getting married in prison?
My mom is marrying an inmate.
Dynamite.
Oh.
Dynamite.
And she wants me to go, and I've been torn on this for months.
How did she meet him?
I really wanted to talk to Tori, but I love you guys, too.
Okay.
How did she meet him?
Huh?
How did she meet him?
She's had a long line of relationships. She's had, like, four relationships with guys in prison. She's got like the old friends from the old bad friends from the old bad days that have friends in prison, and then like their boyfriend said, "Hey, can you write to this guy? Because blah blah blah, he needs."
Was her dad an ex-con or something?
Huh?
Was her dad imprisoned or something?
Oh no, just
Where did she get this whole prison thing?
Okay, let me see. The first part that started, she actually went to prison a long time ago, and she met this guy on the way to prison, and he was going to prison, too. And they became boyfriend and girlfriend, and he ended up getting
It's possibly a fairy tale, Adam.
Yeah.
It's like on the way to grandma's house. And they were going to prison together.
Yeah, so they skipped off to prison.
Isn't it sick?
But then the big mad man came up behind him with handcuffs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So they, like, were pen pals, and then she got out, and then she waited for him for, like, 9 years, and he got out and, like, screwed the little girl that was staying with my mom and got her pregnant. And now she's had, like, various different boyfriends in prison, and now she's finally going to marry this one.
Okay. How long... What's this guy in prison for?
Murder.
and how much longer does this guy have in prison?
Okay, he's supposed to have life, but she's, like, doing some stuff to, like, try to get him out.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Deal or something.
No, it's important that he F somebody else's kid once he gets on the outside or
put a
shift.
Oh, that's a different one, but who knows?
Right, right.
This one just goes right ahead and kills him.
This one will kill him after he rapes him. Yeah.
Supposedly it was some, like, drug deal problem, and he accidentally shot the drug dealer or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He fell on his gun.
And... He told her, so who even knows?
Well, where are you calling from, by the way? What prison? Where?
Redondo Beach.
What prison you got over there?
Oh, he is in Corcoran.
Oh.
Which is, like, 4 hours away from here. And
right.
She goes and drives and visits him and stuff.
Dynamite. Once they get married, will they have conjugal visits?
Every, like, 6 to 8 weeks, they'll have 3 days, like, in a trailer.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, what is it, like, the boneyard visits, Mom?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Well, let me go off on just a miniature jag here for just 1 second while I'm outraged, okay? I've said this before. I cannot believe that murderers get to get married from within prison and then have conjugal visits. Ted Bundy has a kid. Ted Bundy, after attacking 14-year-old girls with pliers and being on death row for 10 years, sired a kid from inside of prison. Ted Bundy has a 21 or 22 or some age like that chick running around that is his daughter. Okay? Tex Watkins, after going into Sharon Tate's home and stabbing her numerous times with her, you know, nine months pregnant, and then going into the LaBianca's house and killing that family, sired, I think, 3 kids from inside the prison before we were smart enough to... Oh, wait, we didn't put him down, actually. He's still around. Okay, so Ted Bundy went down, but he's not. Why you get to have kids from inside prison is well beyond me as a taxpayer. And can't we agree that maybe your genes aren't exactly prime stock? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You pick it, nature or nurture. Either angle, either road you want to go down, you have saw fit to go into a couple people's houses and torture them and kill them. Maybe that's not the kind of seed that we need passed on. I know that seems way out there, Drew, and it seems like radical Orwellian thinking, but call me a Nazi. That's just the way I think. I believe you lose certain rights when you kill people and are incarcerated. And I think we all understand that as a society. That's why you're in prison. You can't just walk out. You can't go bang your girlfriend. You can't go down to the liquor store and get a six-pack. You've killed somebody. You've lost rights. Now you get to get married and have conjugal visits. And we'll pay for the laundering done on the sheets after you drop your wad on it in the little trailer. You get to bang the bejesus out of the crazy woman who thought it would be a great idea to marry you from. So... Then you get her pregnant. Now what do you got? You got a dad who's in prison for murder who can never possibly be involved with this child's life emotionally and certainly not financially because he's getting 63 cents a day for weaving baskets in there. And you got a mom raising this child, a single mom who absolutely is so mentally unstable that she hooked up with a murderer in prison and decided to marry him. Now what do we got? We can't, there's no point we can't say no. But you understand, I get a parking ticket that I don't pay. I can't register my vehicle. We say no to that all the time. I have no difficulty saying no for millions of things in this society. But we somehow can't say no to the part where insane people want to have offspring. Why is that? Why is that so sacred to us as a society? Is it that important that the criminally insane have kids from within the prison walls? Do we really need that? Let's just all close our eyes and imagine a world without the criminally insane reproducing from inside of prison walls. Better or worse? It seems better to me, yes. That's right. Now, we'll spend $10 million trying to get Kevorkian locked up. He has no rights. The dying people, no rights. The guy swallowing his own spit in advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease, he cannot take his own life in a dignified way. Oh, no. You're playing God. We can't do that. But if you want to sit inside prison and bang an insane woman you met on the internet, that's perfectly fine. We can't stop you from doing that. We can't play God. We don't have the right to tell you what to do. We can tell you, we can kill you. Why can't we tell you not to F insane women? We got death row. That seems like we're taking away a few rights when we kill you. Isn't it? I mean, when we killed Ted Bundy, doesn't that seem like the ultimate denial of rights, the right to live? But yet we could not tell him he couldn't get married and sire kids while he was on appeal in death row. And imagine, imagine the parents of these people he tortured. This guy's in prison. Ted Bundy tortured 20 women, maybe 40. Who the hell knows? And not a bunch of prostitutes, a bunch of 14-year-old schoolgirls. And now he's banging the bejesus out of somebody in prison on the bed we're paying for? I'm outraged. And I won't take it anymore.
All right.
Now, where's the outrage? How come no one talks about this? Where are those pussy politicians on these issues?
It gets even deeper. How about the kids whose father is Ted Bundy, their genetic loading, and the system kills their dad?
Yeah. And let me float this one, too. All you left-wing, bleeding liberals, you big pussies who don't have the balls to throw the switch, I hope this kid grows up and kills your kid. And then we'll see where you're at with all this. Yeah. All right, anyway, go to the wedding. And where's he registered? Where's he registered? Like in the mess hall? Where do you register when you get married in prison? Like a guard tower? He's registered in the activity, like in the courtyard or something. Okay, and who shows up? Like the Crips and the Bloods and the Aryan Brotherhood? All right. All right. Is that long enough, Drew?
That was long enough. We need to play another Tori Amos song, don't we?
Yeah, we'll take a little break. We'll be back with the Tori Amos song after this.
Right. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tori Amos has left the building. And I wanted to mention something that I'd forgotten to mention, which is the Family Guy. As you know, if you listen to the show, my absolute favorite show on TV. Besides, Drew, what show were you doing, The View?
Very funny.
Chicks are from Mars. The point is I love this show. I think it's really funny and really brilliant, and it's kind of on the cusp. It may stay and it may go, and it's important that everyone go out and support the stuff that's really good out there, and it would break my heart if this show left the airs. So it's on tomorrow night on Fox. I think it's on at 8 o'clock. It could be on at 9 o'clock. Check your local listings because they brought it back, and I'm not sure. But I think 8 o'clock on Fox. The Family Guy, if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. It is a great show. All right, Drew, let's go through some more calls here.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to a song. But
well, I talk too much, and now we got to go
indeed
to calls.
You do.
Thank you.
All right.
Chris?
Yes?
22.
Yep.
You're a law student.
I am indeed.
And you want to give the elements of rape?
Yeah, you guys pretty much had it. It's first there has to be sexual intercourse, which can be anything from any kind of penetration, anal or vaginal, however slight. And most courts have said that oral to genital contact or oral to anal contact.
Ooh, oral to anal.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
And there has to be some kind of force, which can be any kind of violence or implied violence, implied future violence, violence to another person, any kind of menacing, anything like that.
So lack of consent is not enough. I mean, if the person passes out and you put your penis in their mouth.
Yeah, that's another one. If the person is unconscious at the time of the act or.
Damn.
if the person is prevented from resisting because they are intoxicated in some way.
I see.
That's in California, right?
Exactly. Or if the person's incapable because of a mental disorder or developed...
My God, I'm being raped! Help!
Whoa. Nice.
I don't know where Anderson even got that. All right, anything else?
Let's see. Oh, there's interesting ones in California. Like, if you convince the victim that you are their spouse and then have sex with them because they think you're your spouse, that's rape.
So, you mean if you got, like, a retarded guy or girl and convince them?
Well, they would have to be retarded. Like if, I suppose...
No, it's like if you're married to identical twins and one of the twins came home.
Oh, right. Or, like, they were in bed and you came in late night and said, hey, baby. And you kept the light off and humped them and they thought you were their husband.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Drew was right. If there isn't penetration, it's usually sexual assault.
Right. Oh, well, good times, Chris.
Yep.
Have fun bilking the public out of their hard-earned money.
Oh, I will. I'll enjoy
it. All right, take care.
Didn't we have some other legal issue we were talking about a few minutes ago? No. All right.
All right, let's get one more in here, Drew. Paula?
Yes?
21, you want to know if there's such a thing as a nocturnal groping?
Yeah. I've been on hold an hour and a half just waiting for you guys to talk about this. My boyfriend has told me, it's happened a couple times. Like, we'll stay the night together and things like that, and he'll wake up the next morning, and he'll be like, you kind of groped me in the middle of the night last night. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He'll be like, well, you were laying, and next thing I know, I feel a hand on something. You're passed out, so I don't know if there's such a thing.
You did it. Yes, you did it to him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was dead asleep.
Happens.
We
all
hear about
time.
It. Yeah, we've had a fair amount. Some people even go as far as having sex and wake up in the middle of the act.
Right.
Oh.
Okay, Paula. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you means you got a good, healthy libido, and you're in love.
Okay.
Right? There's nothing wrong
with
that.
What a relief. Phew.
Hey, you're fine. I don't... We get this question a lot. I can never figure out why it's a question, even.
Yeah, why it's a deal, yeah.
Well, why you would even ask. It's like saying, I keep a glass of water by the side of my bed, and sometimes I drink out of it in the middle of the night, but I don't remember.
Right.
Is that a problem? No.
Yeah.
You know there's water on your nightstand and you get dry mouth in the middle of the night. You know there's a naked person lying next to you. You'll hit it. I mean, that's the way it works. And until you get older, and then it's like you wish it'd go away.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We'll take ourselves a little bit of a break and we'll be right on back.
Oh, there you go. That is it. I want to thank Tori Amos for coming in here tonight and being so compelling as usual.
We've got to get her back again.
Yeah, it's been a few years, so we'd like to, you know, she's living in England, so I say we just call her in,
I like that idea.
9 months
good.
And do a little phoner. Strange Little Girls is the name of her latest CD. Get out there and support her. Again, The Family Guy on tomorrow night on Fox. Love that show. Support that show, everybody. I will cry if that goes off the air.
Unacceptable.
There he is. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
These are those gold dust moments.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.